Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. We're a church committed to praising God, preparing His people, and proclaiming the gospel. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. So whether you're commuting, exercising, or doing dishes, grab your Bible, lean in, and let God's Word speak into your life. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
So we've been, since the beginning of the year, in the book of Colossians, a letter to the church in Colossians. We are going to jump a couple letters over to the letter 1 Timothy now, and we're going to spend a little bit of time, again, opening this book with the idea of discipleship as the kind of the background or the foreground of our study and our time. There's a lot of there's a lot to really go through in the book of Timothy, or the letter to Timothy, the first and second letter to Timothy, but we're really going to look at this for a couple reasons. One, again, how can I be a better disciple of Christ? And that's really our focus for today, is our personal responsibility. What do we need to do when things get difficult? And then globally as a church, how does this letter call us to be those disciples of Christ? How do we work together to become disciples of Christ who move the message of Jesus forward? So that's what we're really going to look at. And really the whole of 1 Timothy can be summed up in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, where Paul says, "I'm writing these things to you now so you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth." And that's really what I want us to be, to grasp, to, we are that, right? If you are a born again believer in Jesus Christ, that you are part of this body, you are part of this local body and then the global body of Christ, and you are a part of this foundation of truth. It's what you've been called to. And again, I should start off, as Jake just alluded to, right? If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, that's your first step, is recognizing that Jesus is Lord, that He died on the cross for our sins, to take our punishment for sin, which separated us from God. He bore that on Himself willingly, sacrificially, and then 3 days later rose from the dead. And for those of us who have trusted in that, who have believed upon that, who have found forgiveness in Jesus alone, we are called. We are called to be His disciples, to deliver His message to the world around us. But if that's not you, if you haven't made that decision, maybe you're sitting here, you're just checking all this out. You heard there was some good stuff going on at Bethany. You wanted to be a part of it, and that's great. We're so excited that you're here. But just know that the foundation of everything that we talk about is built around Jesus Christ as our Savior alone, through nothing that we did, but everything for what He's done. And it's through that lens that Paul writes to Timothy, that Paul writes all of his letters, and that we read the scriptures, knowing that Jesus is our Savior. And what that erroneously is often believed to be is that if you come to know Jesus and Jesus is your Savior, that all your problems will be solved. And you'll never have hard times, and you'll never go through difficult circumstances. And that's just not true, right? That's not what Scripture teaches us. And all of us who have been Christ followers for longer than a day and a half will tell you that life is still hard. But because of Jesus, we know we can get through it. We know that we can turn to His Word and to Him for the stability to stand back up under the difficult times. But the difficult times are going to come. And when we open up the pages of 1 Timothy, we see that Timothy is in the middle of a hard time, right? It really seems like he's ready to leave where he has been placed, which is in Ephesus. And have you ever wanted to leave something? Have you ever wanted to feel, you felt like it was just too hard, it was too much, and you were just ready to go, but for whatever reason, God called you to stay, to be patient, to wait. And you wanted to leave, not because you stopped believing, not because you stopped caring, or you even, you know, you believed in the mission, but because it just became so difficult to complete the task that you were originally given. Rather, maybe it was because of hard conversations that you're having to have, or a hard relationship that you're in, or maybe you have a hard boss who's just unreasonable, or just a difficult season of life, whatever your personal circumstance might be. We've all gone through these difficult times. And discipleship really, what I want us to understand, really discipleship means faithfully guarding what God has entrusted to you, especially when staying is harder than leaving. And again, this is exactly where Timothy is when this letter begins, right? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, let's open it up there. It says, this letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of God, our Savior and Christ Jesus, who gives us hope. I am writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. And so this letter is certainly a personal pastoral encouragement to Timothy, who Paul loved as his own son. He had invested so much into him. But what's interesting is you really, really dig into it. You see that Paul uses his official title, an apostle of Jesus Christ. The formality of this introduction really gives us evidence that it was intended more for more than just Timothy. It wasn't just a personal note from Paul to him, but also to be used as a reference for other churches at that time. And then truthfully, for Christ followers today, now, right? Paul didn't know that when he was writing it, but his intention was for it to go to Timothy and then to other churches throughout the area so that they might know the truth. And so Paul continues on in verse 3. He says, when I left for Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus and stop those whose teaching is contrary to the truth. That word urged is actually intentionally strong. It means more than just a suggestion. It is almost like a military command. He is giving him a very strong statement to stay where he is. He is insisting that Timothy stay. And so why would Paul have to urge Timothy to stay if he was happy there? Well, because more than likely, he was ready to leave. Ephesus was a hard place. It was a difficult place. And remember, maybe you don't know Timothy that well. Let me give you a little synopsis of who Timothy was, right? In chapter 4, verse 12, we see that Timothy was young. I don't know how young. He wasn't like a teenager or anything, but he was a young man. He was a young man who was tasked with a very difficult circumstance. And we see in 2 Timothy that he was naturally timid, that he wasn't overtly outspoken and he wasn't just this huge personality. He was naturally timid. And that he was deeply attached to Paul. He was a traveling companion. He was used to serving alongside his mentor. And when I think about Timothy, I often put myself in the shoes of these people just because I like to get a feeling of what it might have been like. And I've had times in my life where, you know, when I first started in ministry, the man who I was serving under, you know, who was really a big mentor to me, he got called away and they asked me to step up into that place. And I thought, hey, whoa, I'm not your guy for that, right? I do this and I help and I'm silly and I have, you know, all this stuff. And it forced me to grow up a little bit. And I've had other situations where I've been the lead and I've had somebody that was under me, kind of like a Timothy, and I was called to leave in that moment and I had to encourage this person to step up in that moment. And they kept saying, but it's so good right now. It's so good the way it was. I wish we could just go back to that because I don't feel adequate to do this job and it's not as good as when you were here. And listen, maybe that was true, but that's not the calling that God had for us in that moment. We get comfortable. We get comfortable, and unfortunately, sometimes we get complacent. And we have to be careful with that. And so Paul here has left Timothy in Ephesus, which again is not an easy place. It was a spiritually dark city dominated by idol worship, which we see in the book of Acts in chapter 19. We also know that this church was infected with false teaching. It was a congregation that had really drifted into speculation and confusion about what the main thing was. And it was a place where correction was needed. It was a place that needed a strong leader. And so Timothy, he wasn't sent to start something. He wasn't building something from the ground up, which is often sometimes very exciting, and you can kind of set it up the way you want it to be. No, he was being asked to clean up a mess, to walk into a place that was difficult and was dark and was somewhat entrenched in their ways. And not only that, but his mentor was moving on to another place further away in Macedonia. And Timothy probably, if you'd asked him, would have said, I'd rather go with him. It's easier. It's better. I don't know what happens over there, but I know what kind of a mess this is. I'm going with him. To continue, you know, on with Paul would mean exploring new areas, introducing new people to the gospel. It's kind of exciting, although dangerous. It's exciting. He knew that the task ahead of him would involve confronting false teachers, confronting the people who are entrenched in a different way of thinking, the troubles of an established church. And certainly he felt inadequate, overwhelmed, maybe even a little bit alone. But Paul says, stay. And before Paul talks about doctrine, before really he opens up about the mercy of God, or he talks about spiritual warfare or what we need to do to combat it, which we're going to get to all of that as we go through this book. He establishes something very, very foundational for all of us, that sometimes it is important for us to stay. Discipleship is not just about believing the right things. It's about remaining faithful in the right place. And some of you, a lot of you, understand that tension. You've walked through that exact experience. You've maybe even wanted to leave, right? Maybe it was a difficult workplace or a strained relationship or a church that was kind of a mess. Maybe it was a ministry role that felt super heavy. Or, and a lot of the parents in here get this, you're just exhausted. You want relief, and your natural self says something new is going to bring you that. But oftentimes, discipleship really is about staying, guarding, enduring, and fighting for what is right. Because see here, our comfort is not, our calling is not validated by our comfort. We need to be careful of that. If you're comfortable in something, that needs to raise a red flag. You need to say, am I in this place because it's the right thing, or is it because I'm just comfortable? Calling is confirmed by our faithfulness to what we've been called to. Faithfulness to continue the mission that God has given each and every one of us. Which is why Paul tells Timothy he must stay, so that he can stop those who are teaching what is contrary to the truth. False teaching and unhelpful discussions had really permeated that entire area. And so Paul says, he gives some very specific things. He says, don't let them waste their time in endless discussion of myths and spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculations, which don't help people live a life of faith in God. And man, I know that this was true in the church in Ephesus, not only because it's in Scripture, which is enough, but because we see it in churches all over the place today. Meaningless speculation, meaningless discussions that take us away from living a life full of what God has called us to. And here's the real thing, that if you don't believe that Timothy was ready to leave, think about it this way. It is incredibly difficult to stop people from talking about certain things. It is a tough conversation to have. And it is especially hard when that's what everyone is talking about. He's having to turn a gigantic ship that is moving in one direction all the way around. But he knows, and what Paul is encouraging him with, is that if these discussions and the way that this church is going is pulling them away from the truth of Scripture and the teaching of Scripture, then we have to remove it. We have to wade into that fight and wade into the uncomfortableness of it all. Because what happens is speculation really replaces that transformation that we've all been called to. These discussions that they were having were distractions from the true mission and purpose of their church. They weren't strengthening the faith of those who were called God's people. It was pulling them away from it. And it wasn't pointing them to their true main purpose, which was their relationship with Jesus. And so, verse 5, Paul gives us his purpose. He says, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. That's discipleship. Sound doctrine produces love, purity, clear conscience, and sincere faith. Is that what you're learning from? Is that what you're learning about? Is that what's being produced in you from the teaching that you sit under? Not just mine, but everywhere else in your life, whether it's in small group ministry or what we're going to have in men's and women's ministry, that is what we need to test it to. Is that what it's producing? Conversely, look and see if it's producing what false doctrine produces, which is confusion, arrogance, division, drift. Those are the things that are the fruit of things that are not of Christ. Our doctrine, the things that we believe and hold tightly to, it's not about intellectual superiority. It's not about having the answers to everything. It is about spiritual formation. Timothy must stay in that area because Paul has said that truth needs to be guarded, the truth of Jesus Christ. And listen, I really want you to hear this. What happens so often is that we drift away from the truth of Scripture and we start kind of editing our own reality of what we think Scripture is. We start kind of moving away from what is in the Scripture and we edit it. And instead we fall away. We fall away from that which is the truth. And what our calling really is, which is to protect the Scripture. Our calling is to protect what has been entrusted to us, the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is in our lives. And then Paul, in verses 7 to 11, we're not going to jump into it today, but in verses 7 to 11, he really looks at the importance of truly knowing what God's word is. That is the first component of protecting it. You can't protect something that you don't know anything about. He calls us to know and embrace God's word and fully understand what the purpose of the law was. And this time, again, they were wrestling with whether or not the law needed to be added to Jesus. And so he's trying to explain to them that the purpose of the law is not for those who have been made righteous, but for those who are sinful, so that they can have their sin pointed out, so that they would know what sin is. That was the purpose of the law, was to show us our sin. The law doesn't save us from our sin. Not at all. That's only Jesus. Instead, all the law does is point us to our need for a greater Savior, the good news of Jesus Christ. That is what we all need. That is why we pay attention to the law. It produces in us good behavior so that we can be disciplined to truly follow Christ, not to earn anything, but to walk in his ways. And then Paul, coming out of verse 11 and into verse 12, he uses this idea of the law and the idea of the unrighteousness of people to really give his personal testimony, to really show Timothy the power of a personal testimony and his worthiness, even though he feels unworthy. He says this, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my insolence, I persecuted his people, but God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Christ Jesus." This should be our testimony, right? The specifics, the details of it all, the minutiae of the story itself changes a little bit, but at the end of the day, we all should come to a place where we recognize that only because God had mercy on us can we say that we have been changed through his generous and gracious gift. We have found salvation. And so Paul is saying here, you know, his testimony is this: before I guarded the gospel, I opposed it. And we know from the teachings of scripture that he was good at opposing it. He was good at persecuting those who would follow the way. He was a sinner who did whatever he could to tear down what was being built in Jesus' name. He was devoted to this until he met Christ, until he met Jesus, who showed him the truth of what it really meant to follow him. He says in verse 15, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all." That's a powerful statement. And no doubt you've probably said that in your life, right? You've probably said, "I am the worst." And that probably wasn't false humility, right? It was probably right after you did something that was horrible. But the truth is, that's kind of guilt. We need to come to a point in our life where we recognize that what Jesus did for us was so unbelievable because we were the worst in comparison to him. And so why does Paul include this here in this moment as he's trying to encourage Timothy? Because he knows that he's facing a discouragement. He knows he's in the midst of a battle. He was trying to disqualify himself from service because of his own feelings of inadequacy or readiness or whatever it might have been. And Paul reminds him that ministry does not start with your own strength. It starts with mercy that has been shown upon us. That's where ministry starts. And we should never feel like our past mistakes make us unable to be used by God, because that trivializes his mercy and his grace and what Jesus did for us. We also should never get to a point where we feel like we are incapable of the work ahead of us, because our gracious God will always equip us for the work that he has called us to. That is the truth. And we have to come to a place in our life where we believe that. And for a lot of people, that takes a lifetime of wrestling. And to become that kind of confident, not in ourselves, but in him alone. Look at verse 16. "But God had mercy on me, so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life." Paul's saying, listen, Timothy, if God can transform me, he will be able to sustain you. You don't endure difficult assignments, difficult times, and periods of patience because of your own strength. You endure by remembering the grace that was given to you. That's what gives you the confidence to continue moving forward. If we forget the mercy that was shown upon us, we become very harsh in our treatment of others. We become intolerant of those who make mistakes, especially those who need great mercy and grace from us. But if we remember the mercy, if we keep it at the forefront of our mind, like Paul always did, we become very humble guardians of the truth of the scripture. And this doctrine, this innate belief inside of us produces praise. When we realize how far God has brought us from the worst of sinners into his glorious light, the only natural response is, as we looked in Colossians, gratitude and praise. Which is why Paul, in verse 17, sings. He says, all honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. And what a beautiful song this is. I think, if you know me at all, not a singer. And I wanted to kind of put this together to a tune. I have no skills for that, so I just read it with passion. But truth leads to worship. And mercy should lead to our praise. Praise of God. This is healthy discipleship. This is a healthy understanding of how we should live. It should make us smile. If all you do is take in the teaching that you sit under and it causes nothing in you, you're missing something. You're missing the true understanding of mercy, because it should inspire you to move. It should inspire you to praise. And it should make us smile. That happy smile that you only get when you truly understand joy. As I imagine that Timothy started to smile as he read these words, as confidence entered his heart. Then Paul, right before he finishes, he really returns back to Timothy specifically. He says, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Did you notice that word entrust? Timothy did not choose this assignment. It wasn't his first choice. Instead, it was entrusted to him. It was his charge, his orders. It's what he was called to. And Paul reminds him that these marching orders were given to him by people early on in his life who saw in him great giftings. They genuinely, through the power of the Holy Spirit, saw something different in him. And so Paul continues, verse 19, he tells him to cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Paul points Timothy to two very important details here. He tells him to cling to his faith. You have to cling to something only if you know that you're going to be pulled away from it. Right? If there's no pull, there's no reason to be cling to something. But we are constantly being pulled away from our faith. And there's always the temptation in the midst of our trials to doubt our faith, to loosen our grip on what we believe, and to walk away. So Paul says to cling to that. And then he emphasizes the idea of conscience, because discouragement often leads us to compromise. It leads us to make decisions that we otherwise wouldn't make. As Timothy experienced, right, there's going to be adversaries in our lives. There's going to be people who come up against us. There's going to be thoughts put in our head from outside influences that tell us that we're not enough. But those are lies from the enemy. Those are lies meant to pull you away from that which you know to be the truth. And we have to actively engage those lies to push them off, to defend against them. See, discipleship is not a passive thing. You don't just become a disciple of Christ because you come here and sit in a chair. It takes action. It takes work on all of our parts. It takes intentional direction and attention to the things that are true. We have to make sure that we pay attention to what is true and not just what sounds good. And so Paul is saying here, stay anchored, fight with integrity, and really lead from a position of mercy. My hope throughout this study in Timothy is two purposes. I want to obviously talk to all of us who are followers of Christ and encourage us in our discipleship to continue to move forward. And again, as we do that, we move forward as a body of Christ. But I've also had this feeling that maybe there's somebody in here, maybe there's a few of you in here that have an even deeper calling. Maybe it's a ministry calling. We don't talk about this as much as we used to, but I think that's a bit of a tragedy to not encourage those who feel as Timothy felt early on, who have been gifted with something that's just a little extra. And maybe that's you. Maybe God has been working on your heart to say, I want you in full-time ministry. Whether that's in a pastoral ministry, vocationally, bivocationally, or maybe it's in missionary work where you go and are sent somewhere. I don't know who that might be, but I do have this feeling that there might be somebody here that has that calling on their life. And they've been wrestling with it. And my encouragement to you throughout this letter is if God is really stirring on your heart towards one of those ministries, I want you to hear this clearly. The first test of your calling as to whether or not you are called is not a platform. It is perseverance, a willingness to persevere in the faith. There's a lot of people that feel called to preach or who want to stand up and tell what they believe to other people, but very few who are called to confront others in love. Timothy's assignment was not one of glamour. It was not one of prestige. It was gritty. It was messy. And if you're feeling the calling of ministry and you're not willing to stay when it's hard, that's the first area you got to work on. Because if it's not the case, if you're just in it for the glory or the glamour, then when things do get hard, and they will, you're going to crumble under the load of that pressure. And so before God entrusts you with a congregation or an assignment in around the world, some missional location, he has entrusted you with faithfulness, and you need to embrace that. So whoever you might be, wherever you might be, whether right here in this room or online, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but the Holy Spirit has got a hold of your heart, and I want you to lean in. But for the rest of us who know Christ, for the rest of us who are Christ's followers, we have a mission as well. It may not be in full-time ministry. It may not be moving all the way around the world. It may not to be called to walk into a place like Ephesus even, but you are entrusted with something, your marriage, your children, your workplace, your church here. You're called to this. Your witness to the rest of the world. You have a great calling. So stand firm in what you believe. Here's what I want you to do this week. Here's what I think, what God is really putting together here in 1 Timothy is to ask us to really wrestle with what is God teaching you right now? What is it that's going on in your mind that you are wrestling with, that you can't, no matter how hard you try to change your focus, this keeps coming back into your mind? Lean into that and talk to God about it. What is God calling you to stay in this moment? Even though it's difficult, maybe not forever, but in this moment, for this season. Some of you might be called to go somewhere and you've been wrestling with it because you want to stay. Both require faithfulness. Both require trusting in the God who gives you that call. In your heart, I want you to really ask, where are you tempted to walk away when you know you should stay? You've been focusing on that, and that's all that you can think about is that it's time for you to go. It's time for you to go. It's time for you to go. I would challenge you, instead of focusing on that, focus on this. Focus on the gratitude of Christ's mercy in your life. Have humility in guarding the truth that he has implanted in you right now. And just work on having a willingness to remain if that's truly what God wants for you. That old saying, not my will, but yours. Make that your heart's cry. And then find somebody in your life that you'd be willing to ask for an honest evaluation of your character. Right? Maybe that's the person that I was talking to earlier that has been wrestling with the ministry calling and you don't know what to take the next step is. But you don't know if maybe it's just something that you're personally, pridefully seeking or if it's truly what God is calling you to. Ask somebody. Come talk to me. Come talk to me. Come talk to somebody that you know well that will give you the right answer. But maybe it's just about a job or a relationship or parenting. The key is to don't do this alone. Walk with the community that you've been entrusted with and watch how powerful it is to walk hand in hand with someone. So ask someone this week to honestly evaluate your character. But again, they got to know you. Make a wise decision there. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for the times when life is hard and you call us to stand firm in it. Our natural inclination is to run, to avoid, to find the comfort. But sometimes the middle of that tension is right where you want us to be because that's where we will be taught the most. That's where we will grow the most into disciples of you. Help us to embrace that. And God, for those who have a calling, those who are feeling a stirring inside, Lord, help them to lean into that. God, you're speaking to all of us through the power of your Holy Spirit. So God, may we hear that. May we embrace that truth that you are impressing in our hearts. And God, may it be firmly tied to your word alone. May we test all that we feel, all that we hear on your truth, the truth of your words and your word alone. We thank you for it. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.